ushers are going to be coming out now to pass out something to you. It is a devotional guide that if you'll just take one and then pass it down. As we begin our journey together today on the one another's of Scripture, there are 59 one another's in Scripture. Some of them are repeated more than once. If you boil them all down, there's literally 52, one for each week. But some of them repeat themselves, like love one another. We're going to look at today is some seven times it's in Scripture. But those devotionals were written and have been written by Brother Alex, put those things together for us, and he's written several. But the devotionals are written by many of the members of our church and our staff and many of the members of the church. So I want you to just take time to this week, and there's a one for each day of the week there, and you just read through that. Today we're going to preach on love one another, and then this coming Wednesday night we will come together for our meal, and then we will have a time of Bible study. We're going to break up into small groups and things here in our sanctuary, and we're going to study this whole idea more in depth of loving one another. And then we're going to have a time where we are going to challenge each other to show that in some way this coming week. So we'll be following that pattern for the next 7 weeks. Please come and join us. We've tried to take all of the issues away that might keep you away. I know life happens and things are probably going to come up here and there. But set aside Wednesday night. We want to build the body of Christ. I guarantee you, I could probably call someone's name like Bob Kirkwood over here. And I could ask him to stand up. I'm not going to do it. But I could ask him to stand up and say, Bob, I want you to name 10 people over here on this side of the church. Now, Bob has been around for a while, and he could probably do that. I have faith in him. But how many of you even know the names of the people that are sitting around you within three pews of you? Can you name everybody there? Do you know where they live? Do you know anything about them? Do you know where they're hurting? Do you know that sitting in here in this congregation this morning, there's all types of hurts, all types of needs. And I don't know about you, but when I'm hurting, I love for somebody to love on me. Someone to just come and put their arm around me and stand there with me and pray for me. And that's what we need to do for one another. So I want to challenge you, get out of your comfort zone and come join us on Wednesday nights. And let's learn to love one another. We will never be able to accomplish the great commission that God's called us to until we first of all learn to love one another and then be able to extend that love to a lost and dying world. Someone said, love is like an onion. You taste it with delight, but oh, when the heartburn comes, you wonder whatever made you bite. Someone else says, love is like a lizard. It jumps around and crawls around and jumps into your gizzard. Well, remember, see all the whiteheads in here. All of us whiteheads in here. Remember a movie that came out back in the 70s called Love Story? Alec McBeal and Ryan O'Neal. There was a famous statement that came out of that movie, and here's what it is, and you'll remember it because it's been around for a long time. Love means never having to say you're sorry. That's not true. Thumbs down for movies. Bad theology. In fact, real love means you'll say you're sorry a whole lot of times. We're going to focus for the next several weeks on these one another's of Scripture. And today we're talking about love one another. Turn with me to John chapter 13 and verses 34 and 35. I want to read these verses. In fact, I would challenge you to memorize these verses this week. And in our daily devotions, you will have a verse down there at the bottom of the devotions that we will ask you to to memorize. It'd be great for you to do that. And then some other selected scriptural readings for you to read about this whole idea of love one another. But in John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35, this is what it says. A new commandment. Now notice, don't scratch that out and put suggestion there. This is not a suggestion. This is a commandment. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know, shall all know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. You know, we see people in our community. I have a son that's a policeman. I have other families and things there. That when you see a policeman, you know him by his badge. You see a fireman, you know him by his badge. Well, the Bible tells us here that the badge of the Christian is to have love one for another. Now, we're imperfect people, and we're going to do that imperfectly. But deep in our hearts, there should be a love for one another. Think about this. You're going to spend eternity with me. You need to love me. If you're a Christian, then you need to learn to love one another. We're going to... Now, that doesn't mean that we accept bad behavior. Because, let me ask you something. If you have a child that is... acting up and is not behaving like they should, why do you correct that child? Why do you discipline that child? Because you love them. And you know that if that child continues down that path, that they're headed for a time of destruction, despair, and no telling what. So you love them enough to be able to stand up. That's the way love is. Love is, yes, saying I'm sorry, but it's also saying, hey, we need to talk. Love is a very precious thing. There are four words that are used in the New Testament for the word love. It's the word agape, which is the word that is used here. It means an unconditional, unmerited love of God. In other words, God's love, there is nothing you can do to make God love you more, and nothing you can do to make God love you less, because God's love is not based on our behavior. Boy, that was a great place for an amen. I mean, if I have to call those out, it's going to be a long day. Let me say it again. There's nothing you can do to make God love you more, and nothing you can do to make God love you less. There you go. It is not based on our behavior. It is based on God's will to choose to love you. Now, think about this for a minute. Are there times in your life where you have to choose to love your spouse? I heard a lot of ladies' voices there. For us guys, it's easy, right, guys? I mean, you know. There are times when we have to just choose to love, because the behavior or the things that are going on or may have been hurt or whatever the issue may have been. Someone may have said something that was out of line, hurt your feelings, didn't acknowledge something in your life, but you have to choose to love regardless. Because that is the love that God gave to us. And this is what he says to us. I give you this commandment that you love one another as I have loved you. We are to love one another. And listen, the same word that's used here for us loving one another is the same word that is used for God's love to us. Now, I can't love you like God loves you without God's help. Because I'm a human being. You step on my toe, I'm going to holler, ouch. You punch me and I might punch you back. A little humor there. Many times our love is based on condition, how we feel about something. But we're commanded. The first word is agape. The second one is storge, which means a parental type of love. Then there's phileo, which is brotherly love or love of friends. It's where we get our word Philadelphia. Phileo, brotherly love, and adelphos is the word for brother or brethren. So phileo, love, and adelphos, Philadelphia, the city of what? Brotherly love. Then there's the word eros. That is a sensual type of love between husband and wife. It's where we get our word erotica from. So four words that are used. But today, the word that is used here in this passage is the word agape. Let me ask you, if you love someone, you think about them all the time, don't you? I remember when Jan and I first started sparking. That's an old term for dating. I just loved talking to her. It was long distance from Fayette County to Shelby County at that time on the phone. We didn't have cell phones. It was all landlines. And you had to pay extra. So I would drive into Memphis, the Summer Avenue, pull into that service station right there at the interstate. And they had a phone that you could drive your vehicle right up to. And I'd drive at my truck right up to there and pull that phone in. I'd call her, and we'd talk for hours. We were talking one night, and there was this long silence, and all of a sudden I heard, she'd gone to sleep on me. But I thought about her all the time. I couldn't get her off my mind. You love to hear about them. You love to hear about the things that they're doing, where they're going, what their interests are. You love to hear from them. Man, I tell you, we didn't have caller ID then either. But boy, every time that phone would ring, I was thinking, it's going to be her. It's going to be her. You love to please them. You want to see them happy. You want to do everything you can. And generally, you will like the people that they like, their friends. You're also jealous about their name and their honor. Let me ask you something this morning. Is your spouse, are the brothers and sisters here that you have here this morning in Christ? And I heard this somewhere. I don't know who to give credit to, but it is not mine originally. But boy, it really spoke to me. I claimed it as mine. Let me ask you something. Is my name safe in your mouth? Or do you have fried preacher for lunch? Now, I use myself as an example there, but look around. Look around. Is your spouse's name safe in your mouth? Do you run your spouse down around your friends? You talk about all the negative things, the bad things. Or do you build them up? What about your brothers and sisters in Christ? The next is, you love talking to them. Man. You know, the longer we're together, the longer we've been married, Jan is my best friend. She really is. I was a little embarrassed this week. I'm just going to go ahead and admit it. I had paid our bills like we normally do, or like I normally do, get the bills all paid. I was in a hurry, in a rush, trying to get done, get something else done. And Thursday, I went to mail. I was in my truck and went to the post office, and I reached to get the bills that I had written checks for, put in the envelopes, and I couldn't find them. I went into panic mode. What did I do? Where did I? I know I put them here. You ever done that? So I run by the house, and I look on the counter, or I look on my desk. I'm looking everywhere. So I called Jan. I said, honey, did you happen to have picked up the envelopes that, which would have been, not normal. I wasn't blaming her for anything, but just saying, did you happen to pick up those envelopes for the bills? No, I haven't seen them. I said, well, I've lost them. I don't know where they are. I've looked everywhere, literally. I've turned my truck, threw stuff out of my truck, looking, all under the seats, everywhere. So I just stopped and prayed, and I said, Lord, you know where these things are. I don't. Please help me to remember to retrace my steps, as to what I did with these things. So I'm thinking about what happened when I finished writing the bills. You got all this extra paperwork that's trash. And guess what I'd done? I had picked up that with it, and I'd thrown those checks and bills in the garbage. I ran over to the garbage real quick thinking, surely I didn't do that. And so I'm digging through the garbage, dumpster diving, getting it out of there. And sure enough, there they were. She texted me and says, an hour or two later, said, did you find them? I said, yes. That's all I replied. What was her next question? Where? I said, I'm too embarrassed to say. You know what her text back to me was? She said, you know you can tell me anything. So, I said, the garbage. She said, well, I started to say that to you, but I didn't want to hurt your feelings or make you mad, but I thought about that might have gotten into the garbage somehow. Well, anyway, I love talking to her because I know that she's my best friend, and I can tell her anything. I love being with them. You love being with someone. Let me ask, do you look forward to coming to church on Sunday? To be with God's people? To get that hug, or to give that hug, or to say that word of encouragement, or to sing to the glory of God, and hear others worshiping God as well? You love being with them. Well, let me give you some things about this passage. First of all, in this passage, we find that loving one another is a commandment to follow. A new commandment I give you. In John chapter 15 and verse 12, notice what it says. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Then John 15, 17. These things I command you, that you love one another. 1 John 3, 11. For this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. 1 John 3, 23. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. 1 John 4, 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. 1 John 4. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love has been perfected in us. And then 2 John 5 says, and now I plead with you, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment to you, but that which we have had from the beginning, that we love one another. Don't you think God is trying to tell us something? Look at these verses. It's a commandment to follow. God has made that pretty clear. The second thing we see in this passage in verse 34 is that loving one another is a commission to finish. Jesus said, as the Father hath sent me, so send I you. And what did Jesus? He came with the commission to complete the absolute work of salvation for every one. So what do I think we have to look at ourselves here and ask ourselves this question. What is it then that I love? Do you love possessions? Do you love power? You're a power freak. You got to have everything your way, and you've always, you know, talking over people, and, you know, you've got to be in control of everything. Do you love the praise of men? Do you like to be patted on the back? Well, everybody needs an attaboy every once in a while. I mean, that's everybody needs that, but I'm talking about do you just every day just do everything you can for people to see how good of a person you are? And you want to hear how good of a person you are? Do you love pleasure? Now, all of these are all great in their place, but these can be some dominating character traits that are not good. Pleasure, you know, are you all constantly seeking pleasure instead of sacrifice? And then lastly, do you love people? I'm so grateful today that the Lord loves people. Because I'm one of them that needs to be loved. And you know what a secret? So are you. And there are times in your life where you're just not lovable, but God's love never changes. Never, never changes. I don't care what the event, what the circumstance, what the difficulty may be. God's love never changes. We need to do an inventory of that which we really love, and then we need to have a clearance sale. Then loving one another is a calling to facilitate. You and I have been called to do the same thing that Jesus did. Now, not paying the price for sin. That's not what I'm talking about. But we have been called to finish the commission. What is the commission that God gave us? How are we the ones that are to facilitate that? Jesus said that we are to go into all the world and preach the gospel, and we are to make disciples. And when we make a disciple, that is, there's someone who has come to Christ, we are to baptize them, and then we are to teach them according to all that the Lord Jesus taught. We're to teach them the Word of God. And if we really love one another, that's what we're going to be doing. We have a calling to facilitate. Let me ask you, are you involved in some type of discipleship? Whether you are discipling someone, bringing them along, or you're being discipled, carrying you further, you need to be. That's what all of our classes and things are about here. There's perfect, the perfect discipleship is one-on-one. One bringing another up to where they are and reaching up to another and then multiplying. But we have many discipleship opportunities here in the classes that we take. Like for our men tonight, learning to be men of God, joining together with a common cause, identifying as men and how God has made us, and not being ashamed of being a man. And the same thing with our women. We have a calling to facilitate. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples if you have love one for another. Tertullian said this about the early Christians. Is at sea, said they, how they love one another and are ready to lay down their lives for each other. Now, I don't know about you, but I'd easily, without even a second thought, lay down my life for my wife or my son and daughter-in-laws and grandchildren. They're the best in the world. If you don't believe me, just ask me. I'll be glad to tell you about how great they are. But am I willing to lay down my life for you, and you, and you, and you? That's the command that we've been given. Because we're to love one another. What did Jesus? We're to love one another as God has. As the Father hath sent me, Jesus said, so send I you. As I have loved you, so love one another. How did God love us? He gave his life for us. And that's the way we're to love one another. When that day comes where we will pass from this life into the next, we will not be known by our special rites or our habits, not by special form or dress, or manner of speech, not by unusual customs like the Pharisees, the Essenes, or the scribes, but by deep, genuine, and tender affection. Deep, genuine and tender love. So, one of the famous passages in Scripture about love is 1 Corinthians 13. Let me just walk you through some of that. Love is the supreme value of life. In Matthew 22, 37 through 39, the Scripture says, "You shall love the Lord your God with your heart, with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like this, you shall love your neighbors yourself." What Jesus did here was he summarized the Ten Commandments. The first four are how we're to love God. The last six are how we're to love one another. And so Jesus compiled them both right here in two statements. Love God with all of your heart, soul, and mind. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love is the supreme value in life. Human love wears out, but God's love lasts forever. Love is the primary objective of life. 1 Corinthians 13, 1 through 3 talks about this. If I don't live a life of love, nothing I say will matter, verse 1 says. Nothing I know will matter, verse 2. Nothing I believe will matter, verse 2. Nothing I give will matter, verse 3. And nothing I accomplish will matter, in verse 3. That's what those three verses tell us, that love is the primary objective of life. It doesn't matter how well we're able to speak, how much theology we know, and how many times we can split a theological hair, or how much doctrine we believe. Without love, we are, as the Scripture says there, as tinkling cymbals and sounding brass. And then love is the greatest power in life. 1 Corinthians 13, 13 says, "And now abides faith, hope, and love, these three, but the greatest of these is love." Faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. It is the greatest power in life that can overcome anything that we face. So what do I want to challenge you to do this week? I want you to, as we say, put some feet to your prayers. You know, there was this lady who helped take care of the elderly lady. And right across the street from this elder lady's house was this beer joint. And every Friday night, every Saturday night, it was wild over there. And so every morning when the worker would come, they would pray, "Lord, save those folks. Give them, let somebody share with them your love. May that joint, you know, be closed." All you know, praying, you know, it's disturbing the whole neighborhood. Well, that next Monday morning, the worker comes in, and the lady is just rejoicing. She said, "Look across the street. Look across the street." The building had burned down. And she said, "The Lord has answered our prayers. It's not there anymore." And the lady that had come in said, "Yes, ma'am. And I put some feet to my prayers." Now, I'm not, I'm not asking you to go burn down establishments, but I'm asking you to put some feet to your prayers. Put your walk on the same level with your talk. I want to ask you to do something this week. Turn talk into action by reaching out to one another in a loving, unselfish way this week. Maybe there's someone here. You sit on this side, or you sit here, or you sit here, and on the other side of the church, you don't even know who they are. You've never met them. How about going and introducing yourself to them today? Maybe even inviting them out to lunch. Get to know people. Show your love and care and concern. We have families that are really hurting in our church. You say, "Well, I don't know of any." Well, what you need to do is start talking with people, asking them how you can pray for them. And guess what? You'll find out. It can be a close relationship or a distant one. The relationship doesn't have to be one in crisis. It can be a good relationship you want to improve. Maybe you've been at odds a little bit, maybe neglecting your spouse or your children. You just need to love on them. The person you choose can be a person in your group, a family member, your spouse, a person who needs the Lord, your neighbor, someone you work with, a person on the fringes of your life or church, a lonely person. Have you ever looked around in a church to see lonely people? There are some. In fact, there's a lot more than what you think. They go home every night to an empty home. Or they go to a home where love has not been abounding. And basically two people are living two different lives. Invest your life this week into someone else's life. Not just for the sake of knowing what's going on, but for love, care, and concern. And then, of course, anyone that the Lord puts on your heart. What are some suggestions for you to get started? Take them out for some coffee or lunch. Write them a note. Send them a card. Now, don't do like I did when I sent Jan the first card I sent her. When her mother passed away, I sent her this card. And it's before we were sparking. I sent her this card and I forgot to sign it. I mean, I just assumed she'd know who it was. Because I had seen her in the hallway and I saw her countenance. And, you know, she's got a German background and you can tell if she is upset. Her nose gets red. You know, she's crying. And so I saw her coming. I saw that she was upset. And I stopped her in the hallway. I said, you know, Jan, what's the matter? We were students at the same school. She said, I just got news that my mom is dying. And I'm headed out, going to Chicago. I said, well, I'll be praying for you. I mean, wouldn't that tell you I'm the one that sent the card? So, do you know what she did, though? She grilled, because I bought the card there in the little bookstore in the college there. And she went in with that card when she got back, and she grilled every worker that worked there. Who bought this card? And then that's when she started eyeballing me. I'm teasing. Send a note or a card or email. Give them a call. Pray with them. Maybe this week you just call somebody. Call somebody from the church. Call somebody that you know is in need. Call someone and just pray with them over the phone. You don't have to go to their house. God is better than AT&T. He can reach out and touch anybody anywhere at any time. Invite them to join your group. You know, some people don't come simply because they've just never been invited. Invite them. Invite them over to your house or take them out to eat. Help them with some project that they need help with or done. There's so many ways. A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you love one another. There's no higher way of showing our faith. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. That's our call, that's our commission, and that is the commandment. God has called us to fulfill this. And I want to challenge you today, along with myself, let's get busy doing it. Come join us Wednesday night as we love on the body of Christ. We build up the body so that we can love one another and then go out and love the world. Maybe today you're here and you don't really feel the love of God in your life. And you don't have anyone in your life, maybe, or you feel like that you're alone and you don't have anyone that really understands you or loves you or cares about you. I want you to know something today, two things. Number one, God loves you. He loved you so much that he sent his son to die for you. And number two, as a church, we love you. We're going to be imperfect at it. We're going to mess up every once in a while. But don't you ever doubt that your church will love you. You may think you've been neglected or left out or overlooked, but it was never intentional. So know that God loves you. Know that your church loves you. And know that your staff, pastors and staff here love you. We want to do anything we can to help you, encourage you in your walk. But today, most of all, if you don't know the love of God, as we close our service today, we want to invite you to come and receive Christ today as your Lord and Savior. The greatest love that's ever been displayed. How much did God love you? This much. Because He took your sin and your judgment and He bore it upon Himself so that those who would believe in Him could have the wonderful gift of eternal life. That's God's will and plan for you. Let's close in prayer. And as I pray this prayer, you make this prayer your own. Lord Jesus.